Well, regular listeners to the program know that most often we like to do our interviews by phone for the convenience of the guests. Occasionally, we go out in the field and gather interviews at events. It's very rare that I have an opportunity to actually conduct an interview in the field one-on-one in a nice, quiet place. Due to the convenience of my guest who was in the neighborhood, I was able to convene with Audrey Cole. She's been on our program before in the past. She's the program coordinator for the Senior Medicare Patrol out of the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging, another great friend of ours and a great regional asset here at the award-winning For the People. And here we are as our program broadcasts on the final day of Medicare Fraud Protection Week. So we're here to talk about Medicare fraud protection because, as we have learned, an estimated $60 to $100 billion with a B dollars is lost by Medicare every year because of fraud. And Audrey, I know a big chunk of that change is being unscrupulously removed from the pockets and the plans of our Connecticut seniors as well. Thank you for joining me here in person. It's great to be able to talk to people face-to-face once in a while. First of all, if you could just briefly remind people about the area agencies on aging and the role that you play and how the Senior Medicare Patrol fits into that, because it's a regional agency, part of a statewide network that in many ways depends on a lot of federal programs or has a lot of federal overlap, but goes down hyper-locally to so many individuals. It's kind of a complex mix.
Okay, that's correct. Thank you for having me. Well, the Area Agencies on Aging, there are five in Connecticut. I work at Western, where we cover 41 towns. I also cover 11 additional towns at the North Central Area Agency on Aging. So I do like 52 towns. Mm-hmm. And they really assist people 60 or over. The Older Americans Act basically funds them. Those monies come from Washington. They go to the state of Connecticut, who distributes them amongst the Area Agencies on Aging. My program is a federal program. The funds go to Connecticut, and it's distributed amongst the Area Agencies on Aging. So Senior Medicare Patrol, its mission is to empower seniors, and they do that by educating them in relation to Medicare fraud about how to protect yourself from being a victim of Medicare fraud, how to detect it, and number three, where to report it. And my program generally reports most of the issues of fraud in Connecticut. I also handle all the, it's called the complex interaction cases in Connecticut. So if you have a suspected fraud case, you would, wherever you live in Connecticut, that would be referred to my office eventually. You can either call me directly. I don't know if you want me to give out that number or whatever, but you can call me directly if you have a question at 203-757-5449. Now, fraud is very difficult to prove. You have to prove intent. So I would say maybe 60 to 70% of my cases are billing disputes or errors. For example, if you're on Medicaid in Connecticut, you aren't supposed to have any cost-sharing bills or whatever. You might be on the Medicare Savings Program. And a lot of providers, mistakenly, they have to be educated, are improperly billing people. So that's an example. In all my talks, I tell people that scamming the elderly in this country is an industry unto itself. It is big business, elder fraud. And the reason is that a lot of us, as we age, we maybe don't have a mortgage on our property, we've got money in the bank, and criminals know that. And their main goal is separating you from as much of your money as possible. Mm-hmm. So I go out and I educate people on how to protect themselves from becoming a victim of fraud. And as I was telling you earlier, John, the steps I tell people to take, it doesn't really matter what fraud it is. I happen to deal with Medicare fraud, but the steps and protections I tell people to take are basically the same with whatever fraud, you know, romance scam or mortgage fraud. There's a new thing called deed fraud that's going on and so forth.
Yes. We had an arrest that I'm familiar with here in Western Connecticut a couple of years ago. The attempt of selling a home illegally.
Right. Well, what happened is, well, I knew about this several years ago, but in Connecticut for the first time, I just read recently that in New England, 2,600 cases, for example, a gentleman had some land in Massachusetts, and he goes to it after not visiting for many years, and there's a house on it. And what had happened is, a criminal from out of the country had hired a local real estate broker who hadn't done proper due diligence because everything's done online now, right? And then an attorney who also didn't. And then, you know, they were able to sell this properly and took the money and ran. So I do want you to know on the deed fraud, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but every town in the state of Connecticut, if you go to your town clerk's office or city clerk's office website, they have a fraud alert. So if you own property, especially if you don't have a mortgage on it, whatever, if you've given out your Social Security number by mistake, people can take out mortgages against your property. So you can register with your town clerk or city clerk a fraud alert that will notify you if there's any nefarious activity going on your property.
First of many good tips we're going to get in the next 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So to let you know, so when I go out in the field, I tell people, protect. How do you protect yourself? The most important thing against any type of fraud is, I tell people, number one, if you didn't initiate the phone call or the text message or the email, and someone is trying to contact you, trying to solicit any personal information from you, for example, your legal name, your birthday, your correct address, and you get a cold call where someone's asking you to verify this information, do not. They may pretend they're from your bank. Any of these are all called imposter scams, mm-hmm. where someone is masquerading as some official government entity.
And they sound official.
Oh, boy, do they. And even sometimes if you have caller ID, it will show up as Social Security or something. These are all called imposter scams. So the government, any government, the state of Connecticut, the federal government, Medicare, Social Security, the IRS will never, ever, ever cold call you. Now, if you contacted them and you're expecting something from them, they always usually send you a letter first alerting you that there's an issue and you call them. But if someone is calling on the phone, don't call them back on that number or whatever. Just say, okay, thank you very much. I'm going to call Social Security directly. I'm going to call the IRS directly. I'm going to call my bank directly. Do not give them out any information at all. That's number one. Number two, I tell people if anyone is trying to get you to do something out of fear, if you don't do this, like immediately, oh, and don't tell anybody else, by the way, something very bad is going to happen. You know, your nephew is in prison and the police department, and we need $5,000 to get him out. And if you don't do it by 5 o'clock, he's going to be sent, you know, to an even more horrendous prison or something.
Right. But from the county lockup to the big house.
Right. But the point is that they're trying to get you to use fear to do something. That's the second thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing I tell people is, be careful of artificial intelligence and cloning, because nowadays they can mimic your voice, they can copy your voice, and then they can use artificial intelligence to pretend to be you and call your doctor's office or call Medicare or whatever. So if someone is contacting you and you don't know them and they're asking any information, oh, and by the way, don't pick up the phone and say yes. They'll record that. You know, say hello or you know, whatever polite thing you want to say, but nothing in the affirmative. So they can say, oh, well, you consented to buying this or whatever. And then the fourth thing I tell people is be extremely careful during the holiday weekends, like Memorial Day, Labor Day. And I ask everybody, and they can't really think why I say that. And the reason I'm telling you is because that's when a lot of people call me and give out information by mistake. Like, for example, Christmas Eve, a woman called me. The plumber was there. Her pipes were frozen. And someone called her claiming to be from Medicare saying, We're getting new plastic cards. We have information your card was stolen. Could you please confirm your number? And by the way, criminals have PhDs in psychology. You know, they catch you off guard. And she gave it out incorrectly. So she immediately called me. But that's also a holiday weekend. And on the holidays, I forgot what day it was of the week. But like, for example, Memorial Day, a lot of people close offices at 12 noon. And so they don't come back till Tuesday. So that's 3 days when everything is closed. Our offices are closed. Social Security, Medicare, your banks, a lot of things are closed, and they know that. So they have an extra day to try and empty bank accounts or incorrect billing or whatever. So I tell people, it doesn't matter what the scam is. And if you aren't sure, I mean, I have a flyer, and I was showing it to John earlier. I sent it to him where I showed all those text messages that you're getting. You know, some people got about the easy pass, you know, your bill.
Yes,
a lot of people got that. And on mine, I showed it. You know, if you look at some of the numbers up there, you look at the area code, three of those from the Postal Service, from CT.gov, and the easy pass, the area code was 63, which is the area code for the Philippines. If you do just little basic looking at some things, don't ever click on anything. You'll see, and there was another one which was 44, which was United Kingdom. So you know those weren't any of the local government agencies or whatever, but sometimes it's hard to see and figure that out. Mm. But I did have one. I got like 10 calls in the last 2 weeks. A lot of people were getting a text from Social Security, and it looked really legitimate. And it probably was from Social Security. But even if it was, do not click it. You can go, you know, because I'm sure, and I've seen this more and more, criminals are 2 steps ahead of us. They're becoming so sophisticated that they can probably mimic that Social Security website. And you think it really is because it looks like a legitimate one. So go directly to Social Security. They're asking you to upgrade your login if you have an online login account, and they want you to do that. And they've been doing that since last summer. So maybe it is legitimate, but I don't know if the one that got sent to you is legitimate. I'm just saying, do not reply.
Hmm. That to me really is the crux of the conversation. That's the most dangerous thing, that the criminal replication of authenticity is so acutely mirroring reality, and they're perpetrating the schemes with the knowledge that the actual agency is actually potentially doing canvassing. That is the scariest thing, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah, I know. And the other thing is, so when I go out in the field, I always ask people when I give one of my talks, so to cut down on robocalls, for example. And I ask everybody, well, who here is on the do not call registry list? And everybody moans like, oh, that doesn't work. And I'm like, well, yes, it does. You just don't know how much it does work. First of all, legitimate businesses can't call you. So all the honest people won't be calling you to solicit business. If you aren't on that list, they can. So if nothing else, that cuts down on you leaving yourself open. You have to register. It's a do not call registry. I have that number. I have a handout of all the important numbers to know and call. And I can send it to anybody who requests it. But the point is, once you get on that do not call registry and then someone violates it by cold calling you, you can report them. Of course, criminals will ignore that. All right. So yeah. So I would suspect that probably the calls you're getting if you're on the do not call registry are scam calls. Yeah. However, one of the problems is, especially in Medicare during open enrollment, people get tons of calls. Legitimate businesses are permitted to call you if you're an existing client, even though you're on the do not call registry, because you do business with them. So that's one of the loopholes. So during open enrollment, I have a Part D standalone drug plan. I'm on Medicare, and I have it. So my current plan is allowed to call me, and all these agents and brokers have my number. And I used to get a lot of calls during that. The one thing people do, they don't do the second thing, is if someone is permitted to call you, just say to them, take me off your solicitation list. Write down the date you requested it, who you spoke to, and what time. Because that's what everyone has to say, is I don't want to be solicited. Even though I do business with your company, I don't want all these insurance brokers calling me to sell me another plan. You know, and most people don't do that second step. That will cut down a lot. Okay, and then the third thing is, I tell people, call your carriers. You know, they're allowing all these spam, you know, calls to come through. And if you know, no matter what company you have your cell phone or your landline with, call them and say, I'm getting too many scam calls coming through. You've got to do something about it. Because when people call me and give me the number, the scam number, and I look it up, it says known scam number. And I wonder why carriers allow them to go through and confuse people. So,
good point. Audrey Cole, as we said, is with the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging. She is the program coordinator for the Senior Medicare Patrol here, chatting on this final day of Medicare Fraud Protection Week. A lot of information in the past 15 minutes or so, and assuming many of you may be like me, I like to sit back and thoughtfully review material online or in print. And Audrey is kind enough to be willing to share those resources. Can people just go to the Area Agency on Aging website for whichever jurisdiction they may be listening to us in and, you know, click a couple of menu buttons and get to that information pretty easily?
Absolutely. They can easily do that. The other thing is, I just want to say, anybody out there, I want to do a shout out that if anybody has an organization, community group, I go to a lot of senior centers, please give me a call. And I have a lot of volunteers who work with me, who do what I do. I started as a volunteer. And we can go out and meet with you in person. And if you have an issue or a case, I love to talk about my fraud cases. That might be for another interview. There's catheter scams where, or people who don't have diabetes and they're billing Medicare for diabetic supplies. You know, all these types of things. And I educate people how to detect it by looking at the bills that Medicare has paid on your behalf. And I teach people how to do that. So give us a call if you'd like me to come out and talk to your local group.
I love a guest that preempts my hope to invite you back by by asserting the absolute necessity for a part two to this interview. So we will be back with Audrey Cole to dig a little bit deeper and educate you a little bit better on how to easily review some of the fine print and intricacies of your billing to determine whether or not some of those nickels and dimes are not being utilized correctly. I guess that's the way to put it. Audrey Cole with the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging, I appreciate you being with us today. And if you would like more information, whether it's from the Western Connecticut Area Agency on Aging or any of the other four area agencies on aging serving Connecticut, locate those website addresses and head there for information that you can review on your own in regards to fraud protection. Audrey, thank you so much. Yes.
And if you do call, please let us know that you heard about us from John's program so we can get the proper credit for who heard about what we're up to.
That's right. Maybe I'll earn a couple of less robocalls. Thank you, Audrey.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes. My gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Visit a store today.